Mike Malloy here. Thanks for joining the campfire tonight, the discussion, this hour, by the way, is sponsored by Bill Mabry. Thank you, Bill. Bill Mabry is our sponsor this hour. Maybe it's just sensory overload. I'm not sure. But I'm really starting to freak about what is going on in Japan. And by that, I don't mean I'm running around in circles, you know, screaming, help me, help me, help me. But this nuclear accident, if that's a proper term, as a result of the earthquake, which or the tsunami, which is a result of the earthquake, which is a result of geography, which was a result of plate tectonics, which is a result, you know, the nuclear accident seems to be spiraling out of control. And we have a lot of people who listen to this program who do send information about what all that means in terms that are at once technical, but still understandable. But nobody knows the full extent of what can happen. I mean, really happen if this thing completely goes out of control. I've been told by several people there's no way it can go into a fissionable mode, which would be nuclear explosion. But at the same time, the release of radioactivity into the atmosphere is becoming worse and worse and worse. Now, that's part of the fear. I think the other fear is corporate Japan, corporate America, corporate whoever, because it's not just in this country. You know, you hear me complain every night, don't you, about the capitalists in America. It's not just here. I hope that that goes without saying. But the corporations that determine how you and I are going to live, the manufactured cooperation, the manufactured desire for junk, and the resulting necessity, also manufactured, for ever more sources of energy, are pushing us right, all of that, together. You know, it's all pushing us right to the brink, I'm afraid, of existence. And that's what I'm scared about. A nuclear disaster in Japan would be horrifying. It'd be the second time. We provided the first nuclear disaster in Japan. And indirectly, I guess, we are assisting in this nuclear disaster if it develops into, I don't know what you would call it now, it's a horrific situation. There are going to be, and again, nobody knows, X amount of additional deaths beyond the bodies that they find as a result of the earthquake and the tsunami from the radiation poisoning. I think about the 700 people who worked in these nuclear power plants around these four reactors, all of whom except 50, I think, have been told to go home, to get gone. And these 50 or 60 people, like the firemen in the old Soviet Union who went into the beast itself at Chernobyl, and within months were dead. And the Japanese engineers or technicians who are trying to figure out what to do must be thinking that they are being sacrificed. Now, they could leave at any time, I guess, although, again, one of the cultural conditions of Japan is cooperation for the greater good. In a homogeneous society or culture such as the one in Japan, the individual is subordinate to the group, always, forever. That's the reason we see the pictures that we see of people cooperating, nobody shoving, nobody pushing. The reporters, American reporters, make the statement, usually in awe, nobody's stealing anything, nobody's looting, nobody's breaking into anything. In fact, people are working together to provide water to each other, and their little industries have already set up making chopsticks and bowls. And I saw a piece of video today, a guy who owned a restaurant opened up the restaurant and is serving noodle soup free to anyone who comes in. And when asked, he said, well, it's the least I can do. I mean, just picture after picture after picture of the selflessness of the Japanese people. Is that good? How does it compare to the egomaniacal attitude of Western cultures that say, you know, F you, buddy, I'm getting mine. You know, to hell with you. I'm going to defend my house, my lot, my piece of the woods. I will kill you if you come near me. You know, and the Japanese culture is not the only one, of course, that has the cooperative attitude. But I watch all this, and it's starting to make me very, very afraid of not just the immediacy of what is occurring in Japan and the possible consequences of that, but the fact that, or the supposition on my part, that this is not going to make any difference when, if this is finally contained and controlled, those reactors are now utterly destroyed. The core of those reactors are time bombs that have a quarter of a million year half-lives. The uranium, isn't it? Plutonium, the isotope, is 240,000 years. The reactors, once they introduce seawater, that's it. It's over. So those reactors are finished. But what is contained within the reactors will not be finished for thousands upon tens of thousands upon hundreds of thousands of years. And how many nuclear reactors do we have in the United States? How many are in the Soviet Union? How many in France, for God's sake? I think France gets about 60% of its usable energy from nuclear reactors, other than, automotive. I may be wrong on that figure, but it's a very high figure. So, however this turns out, if the Japanese technicians are able to stop this thing, and by stop it, I mean get it under control. I don't know how you stop a controlled, quote, nuclear reaction once it begins. I don't know. I guess until the fuel is spent. And the byproduct then is plutonium. And that's what we have thousands of tons of in the United States that is just sitting there, emitting radiation. Now, granted, plutonium, you can take a lump of plutonium and put a sheet of notebook paper around it, and the radiation is blocked from getting to you. But without the sheet of notebook paper, so the fear that I have tonight. You know, at first I thought it was concern. I thought, well, come on, you're a little bit more macho than being afraid. Come on. Nah. It's fear. Purely and simply. Because you might just die. Losing hope is easy. Not the only one who's afraid of change.
It's your synchronized screaming. It's Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. A little bit later tonight, we will be taking your phone calls about all of this. This hour is sponsored by Bill Mabry. Period. Thanks, Bill. The fear is there. The fear because they're with me anyway. I don't know about you. Maybe you're a lot braver than I am, or less conscious. I have to have an out. Potassium iodide pills. Have you heard about this? The situation in Japan is causing demand in the United States and a few other places for these pills to skyrocket. And the odd part is, the only thing potassium iodide protects against is thyroid cancer. Now, granted, children are very much, and pregnant women are very much at risk for that sort of cancer, but only if they're exposed to certain amounts of radiation. You can get too much radiation if you have an inordinate, and don't argue with me about this. I just don't get the inclination to send me an email about this, because I know, trust me, I've been down this road with too many dental x-rays. If they are done indiscriminately, and if they are not done in a very cautious way, too much radiation in that part of your body will cause thyroid cancer, period. I had a hell of a scare 10 years ago with what was described to us as a cold nodule in my thyroid. And, I mean, there's nothing, you know, for people who have gone through actual cancer, you know what I'm talking about. When the lump is discovered, you, at first, kind of have an internal panic. And if you tell me you don't, you're not being totally honest. Kathy went through that with me. It turned out that the nodule, after two biopsies, it was determined that it was 90. They were 99% sure it was non-cancerous. But, you know, they never know about lumps until they take them out and start slicing them apart. So with me, it was what it was. It was a cold nodule. They took it out in a surgical procedure. And so I take Synthroid now, which is made out of Chinese hog thyroids or some horrible, horrible goo. So I know that feeling, but children who are much more susceptible to, once they're exposed, which to me is a good reason not to have your children's teeth x-rayed. I mean, what the hell? They're kids. Now, I know a lot of people are going to say, well, that's why we talk about not to get vaccines, Mike. No, different situation altogether, as far as I'm concerned. But I'm getting way off topic. Health agencies in California, Western Canada, warned today that there's no reason for people to suddenly stock up on potassium iodide. It's getting out of control. The director of radiation health physics at Oregon State University, one Catherine Higley, said, tell them, stop, don't do it. Added Dr. Erwin Redlener, a pediatrician and disaster preparedness specialist, Columbia University, quote, there's a lot of mythology about the use of potassium iodide. It's not a radiation antidote in general, end quote. But it does work in protecting your thyroid. Japan's Nuclear Safety Agency has stored substance to distribute in case of high radiation exposure, and the U.S. Navy is giving it to military crews exposed to radiation as they help with the relief efforts in Japan. But government and independent experts say that Americans have little to fear from any radiation released by the Japanese nuclear plant. Now, the first reaction when you read that or hear that is, yeah, okay, right, as you make your way to the nearest health food store and stock up on potassium iodide, right? British Columbia's health ministry told the Canadian, well, at least that province, Tuesday, quote, we do not expect any health risk following the nuclear reactor releases in Japan, nor is the consumption of potassium iodide tablets a necessary precaution, end quote. In Russia, where they have very clear memories of Chernobyl 25 years ago, media reports said pharmacies in Vladivostok, which is just west of Japan, had run out of the pills. A woman in Vladivostok is quoted as saying, quote, the mass media tell us that the wind is blowing the other way, that radiation poses no threat, but people are a mess, end quote. She said people don't believe the government will warn them if something goes wrong. So potassium iodide is being bought up in the pharmacies there. It's something very, very, what's the word I'm looking for? Strange? Something very unexplainable is happening. I'm not talking about, the nuclear accident is very explainable. But there's something going on here on a different level that's very unexplainable. Maybe you get a sense of that. I can't put it into words.
It's Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour. Just a little bit more on this potassium iodide thing. And it's, you know, it's so us, isn't it? It is so us to immediately rush out. And, you know, I heard somebody today say that the money being spent on potassium iodide by Americans who are always and forever me first, me first, me first, that, you know, a more human attitude would be to take that money and go ahead and buy potassium iodide tablets and then ship them to the people in Japan who have been exposed. Ha ha, right? This hour is sponsored by Bill Bambry. Thank you, Bill. So, all potassium iodide does is shield the thyroid from radioactive iodine. It blocks no other type of radiation and protects no other body part. It is important for children and pregnant women because their growing thyroid is much more active and more likely to absorb radioactive iodine. The catch, it should be given within a few hours of radiation exposure. And if you're over 40, forget about it. It's not considered that useful. Now, it raises that question, though, that people have been debating for years. U.S. government agencies have, ever since we entered into the nuclear age, the nuclear war age, and it was fully understood, completely understood by government scientists who developed this monster, what the ramifications, you like that word, could be if there was a nuclear exchange. So the question, should people keep small supplies of these substances like potassium iodide on hand in case of a local radiation emergency? What happens if the nuclear power plant near you breaks? The government, the U.S. government already stockpiles potassium iodide, did you know that? It offers enough for states to keep on hand to treat every resident within 10 miles of a nuclear reactor. About 22 states have requested or received some of those doses, and localities periodically offer free supplies for nearby residents to store themselves. We have how many reactors in this state, Kathy? I think three, four. And President Crazy is suggesting two or three more, two more to be built or money appropriated by Congress since the private industry, capitalism. They don't want to put up the money because, you know, it takes too long to get their money back. And besides, there's always the possibility of lawsuits and this and that. So President Crazy has decided to help the nuclear industry build a couple more here in the state of Georgia. What is he doing in your state? Huh? What is he authorizing in your state? No, I've completely given up on Obama. Totally. Even on the East Coast, according to Associated Press, some health departments reported increased interest today about potassium iodide. So I guess if you have small children, although we have a small child and we haven't done this, is that parental neglect, Kathy, that we haven't... But this is what I'm talking about, you know? This is what I'm talking about. This sense of something has tipped, something has tilted, and I don't think it's going to come back level. I guess the knowledge that this earthquake, like others of this magnitude, the other three or four that have occurred, shifted the Earth's axis just a, you know, tiny bit. Only people who set nuclear clocks, I guess, have the least interest in this. And the Japan, because of the quake, territorial Japan, moved 13 feet closer to the United States, which, you know, I mean, it's like the argument if you dump a cup of water into the ocean, have you just made it deeper? You know, these are just very inconsequential little factoids. They really don't mean anything, do they? Or do they? But it's that sort of stuff that can get inside your head, can't it? And start doing backflips, and all of a sudden you feel a little bit of vertigo and wonder what the hell is going on here. The operator of the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant says fire broke out again at its number four reactor because the initial blaze was not completely extinguished. Well, that's not what TEPCO, Tokyo Electric Power Company, said earlier this week. This new blaze flared early Wednesday, Japanese time, late this afternoon, our time, in the outer housing of the reactor's containment vessel. And on Tuesday, Japan time, a fire broke out in the reactor's fuel storage pond, causing radioactivity to be released into the atmosphere. Radiation levels in areas around the plant are up. How long ago was it that we were talking about the destruction of the Gulf of Mexico? Was that 1,000 years ago or was that last week? When we were looking at the video, and how long before that did we see the horrific devastation in New Orleans? How long ago was it that we saw those heartbreaking images from Haiti? I mean, after a while, right? You just start to, you better be very supple, because if you're not, you're going to start to break, right? Death toll now is estimated. The official death toll is around 4,000, estimated to be over 10,000. The Japanese government has ordered 150,000 people living within 20 miles, 30 kilometers of the plant, to seal themselves indoors to avoid exposure. Seal themselves indoors. Do not go outside. Make sure your house is sealed. So, There's a lot of talk about all this, you know. There's not a program on television, I don't think, that is even remotely related to reporting current events that isn't touching on this or focusing on it. Now, according to Associated Press and a couple other news sources, you know, Prime Minister Naoto Kan, I think it's pronounced Kan, he and other officials urged calm, but the developments are fueling what is being described as a growing panic in Japan and around the world because of the uncertainty over what's going to happen next. And in the worst-case scenario, one or more of the reactor cores would completely melt down, a disaster that could spew large amounts of radioactivity in the atmosphere. Now, think about that for a second. We're only talking about four reactors. How many reactors are there in all the countries that have made the shift to nuclear power? Think for a moment the enormous cost, the enormous cost of building and operating them, the impossibility. It is simply impossible to dispose of or safely store the byproduct, the waste byproduct, plutonium. It cannot be done. It's just beyond physics to do it. Maybe they should be loaded into some sort of rocket and shot into deep space. But as far as here on Earth, no, it cannot be safely contained. You know, you can bury it under mountains until your ass falls off. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. We are creating our own death, the death of the planet. You know that. I mean, and that's the underlying thing, I think, that's really getting to me. The fact that we are murdering ourselves through global climate change apparently is not fast enough for us. So we're going to accelerate the death of Earth with these nuclear reactors. Now, the world is in this mild panic state, or certainly has our attention state, take your pick, or any place on that spectrum between those two extremes. Hey, what's going on in Japan? Oh my God, what's going on in Japan? You know, I mean, place yourself any place on that spectrum. But this is just four reactors. Four. Jesus Christ, there's more than that here in Georgia. There's that number here in the state of Georgia. We'll be back. Population keeps on bleeding. Nation bleeding. Still on bleeding. Life is funny. Skies are sunny.
Seekers, gather round the campfire. It's more Mike Malloy.
Ten before the hour, statement from Union of Concerned Scientists. And by the way, if you want some fairly rational updates and insight overview as to what is going on, you should go to their website. It's UCSUSA.org. UCS, Union of Concerned Scientists. UCSUSA.org. Their statement Edie in Atlanta sent this to me. The massive earthquake and tsunami off the coast of Japan have caused a potentially catastrophic situation at multiple nuclear power facilities. The situation is still evolving. Over the last several days, their email says, the press release, we've received many calls and emails from Union of Concerned Scientists, UCS members and supporters, asking about the current crisis involving several of Japan's nuclear power reactors. Like most of you, we are deeply saddened by the terrible tragedy of last week's earthquake and tsunami. And our hearts go out to the many victims. For more than 40 years, UCS has served as a nuclear safety watchdog and a reliable, independent source of information on nuclear power technology and its risks. UCS technical experts are working hard to provide timely, updated analysis of what is happening at the stricken facilities in Japan and what the implications may be. You can find regular updates on our blog, All Things Nuclear, and learn about why events have unfolded in the way they have, where the situation may be headed, and what it may mean for the people around the facilities and the environment. We are also being called on frequently to, by a wide range of media outlets to provide independent, unbiased information and analysis about the rapidly changing situation on the ground. As events unfold in Japan, we will be regularly updating the UCS website with our most current assessment of conditions at the affected facilities. So, strong recommendation. Their website, UCSUSA.org, to get updates that are not going to be flavored or colored or propagandized by government, any government, or the liars and murderers in corporate America. Gorilla Monk writes, Mike, a quick update for my girlfriend who's still in the suburbs of Tokyo. As of Tuesday night, Japanese time, her school, Temple University here in the States, is telling her and the other students that if they wish to leave the country, it's their personal choice, but it will be considered a withdrawal. Therefore, they will not be credited anything for this entire semester, which is scheduled to end next month. Oh, that's nice. Which means all the loans she had to take out just to get there will be wasted. But, of course, she'll still have to pay them off with interest and then find a way to make up the last 3 months. At the same time, the local government in Japan is telling them to stay indoors because of trace amounts of radiation in the air in Tokyo. Transportation is still at a standstill. There are rolling blackouts. I think you can imagine the expletives I've had to go back and edit out of this email. And I won't even get into another one of my usual anti-capitalism rants, but I would really appreciate it if you could mention this on the air and bring some much-deserved shame onto Temple University for basically holding their students at ransom and endangering their lives. Many thanks, Michael, also known as Gorilla Monk. Shame on you, Temple University. What rat bastards are these people now? It'll be considered a withdrawal, so you'll not be credited with anything for the entire semester if you decide that you might want to leave Japan because of the situation there. Temple University. Shame on you. Of course, that doesn't mean anything. Naomi Klein, from her book Shock Doctrine. For more than three decades, Milton Friedman and his powerful followers have been perfecting this very strategy, waiting for a major crisis, then selling off pieces of the state to private players while citizens were still reeling from the shock, and then quickly making the so-called reforms permanent. In one of his most influential essays, Friedman articulated contemporary capitalism's core tactical nostrum, what I've come to understand as the shock doctrine. Friedman observed that, quote, only a crisis, actual or perceived, produces real change. When that crisis occurs, the actions that are taken depend on ideas that are lying around. That, I believe, is our basic function, to develop alternatives to existing policies, to keep them alive and available until the politically impossible becomes politically inevitable, end quote. Some people stockpile canned goods and water in preparation for major disasters. Friedmanites stockpile so-called free market ideas. And once a crisis has struck, the University of Chicago professor was convinced that it was crucial to act swiftly to impose rapid and irreversible change before the crisis-wracked society slipped back into what he called the tyranny of the status quo. Friedman estimated that, quote, a new administration has some 6 to 9 months in which to achieve major changes. If it does not seize the opportunity to act decisively during that period, it will not have another such opportunity, end quote. A variation on Machiavelli's advice that injuries should be inflicted all at once. This proved to be one of Friedman's most lasting strategic legacies. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Program. This hour is sponsored by Zepetit Bozet. Zepetit Bozet. And the message from Zepetit Bozet is just a reminder from Thomas Jefferson. All tyranny needs to gain a foothold is for people of good conscience to remain silent. Ze petite Bozette. Thank you. Ze petite. Ze petite Bozette. A little bit more from Naomi Klein, Shock Doctrine. Milton Friedman predicted that the speed, suddenness, and scope of the economic shifts, you know, disaster capitalism, shock doctrine, would provoke psychological reactions in the public that, quote, facilitate the adjustment, end quote. He coined a phrase for this painful tactic. It's called economic shock treatment. Now, here's an example. In Chile, Friedman advised Augusto Pinochet to impose a rapid-fire transformation on the economy. Tax cuts, free trade, privatized services, cuts to social spending, and deregulation. Eventually, Chileans even saw their public schools replaced with voucher-funded private schools. Pinochet also facilitated the adjustment with his own shock treatment. These were performed in the regime's many torture cells, inflicted on writhing bodies of those deemed most likely to be in the way of the capitalist transformation. That was after the murder and overthrow engineered by Henry Kissinger of Salvador Allende. But the quote from Shock Doctrine is, and the use of the term disaster capitalism is appropriate here. I would imagine that Dick Cheney's companies are already salivating at the billions of dollars, if not tens of billions, that they will now be able to steal from Japan. All of the tentacles in the Cheney octopus, whether it's KBR or Halliburton or whomever, all of these companies, I'm sure, are just lining up like dogs in heat, ready to get over there and hump the country of Japan, as repeatedly as they can. This is what disaster capitalism is all about. I wonder if the Japanese are ready to be raped by these dogs. Because it is coming, isn't it? And Jen wanted me to tell you that miso soup and sea vegetables contain compounds that bind with radioactive particles. These can help to detoxify the body and radiation exposure. Following Chernobyl, miso soup and seaweeds were used widely to ameliorate the effects of radiation on the human body. By Googling seaweed radiation or miso radiation, you'll find more links and studies, including one by a doctor in Japan, who put his patients on a strict diet after the U.S. bombing that had very good results for the patients exposed. So I just wanted to bring this up, Jen writes, while you're discussing it. Any information that can help people is something I'd like to share. There's a website, radiationdetox.com, radiationdetox.com, or just Google seaweed radiation or miso radiation. And Jen has all sorts of information there. I want to shift just a little bit. Do you have that sound close? All the efforts by the workers in Madison, Wisconsin, have been more or less shunted aside, the attention that was getting because of this tragedy. And of course that's true. There is a hierarchy of events in the news business, right? And a disaster like the one that occurred in Japan, because of the images that are provided, far exceed the immediacy of the events in Madison, even though when you get right down to it, on a day-to-day basis, for at least into the near future, the events in Madison are probably have more of a direct effect, I know I'm stretching it there, on us in this country than the horror that has occurred in Japan. Okay. But in giving some attention to Madison, anyone involved in that demonstration, the tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of people who ultimately participated and will continue to do so. I mean, it's not over. Of all of those people, there was one person missing, wasn't there? Of course there was. This guy.
And understand this. If American workers are being denied their right to organize and collectively bargain when I'm in the White House, I'll put on a comfortable pair of shoes myself. I'll walk on that picket line with you as President of the United States of America. Because workers deserve to know that somebody's standing in their corner.
Couldn't find the shoes, President Crazy. Couldn't find the shoes? Wait a minute. Play it. Can you cue that up and Can you squeeze it in here again before the break? A pair of comfortable shoes. Well, we all need comfortable shoes. That's for sure.
And understand this. If American workers are being denied their right to organize and collectively bargain when I'm in the White House, I'll put on a comfortable pair of shoes myself. I'll walk on that picket line with you as President of the United States of America. Because workers deserve to know that somebody's standing in the court.
That hurts. Doesn't that hurt? I mean, that was 3 years ago. Was it 3 years ago? Was it 2007? That was 4 years ago? When he was campaigning. 4 years ago. My, how things change, right? What happened? Mr. President, what happened? You're going to walk the picket line because American workers deserve our support. Mr. President. Hey. Hello. Can you hear me now? That little 38 seconds. How long is that run? A minute, 38 seconds? How long is that? That clip, to me, describes, and the resulting absence of this man, describes his entire presidency. We'll be right back. Sponsored by Zepetit Bozet. Zepetit Bozet, who has a message. The message is just a reminder from Thomas Jefferson. All tyranny needs to gain a foothold is for people of good conscience to remain silent. Is that Jefferson? Doesn't matter. I like it anyway. From Alice in Arkansas, Mike, although I live in Arkansas, I was born, raised, schooled, and taught school in Wisconsin before I moved here. My father was a union machinist who worked for 30 years in a factory in Wisconsin. His union pay allowed my mother to stay home and raise their 9 children. Yes, 9 children. His union supported him when he lost a leg in a motorcycle accident when he was in his early 50s. He didn't lose his job. When he recovered, he went back to work. When he retired, he had his union pension. That pension and his Social Security have supported my mom and dad for the past 25 years. My father will turn 91 this year. Besides the union-busting bill that Walker and his cokehead followers just pushed through, they are also trying to push through a bill to require voters to show photo ID to vote and to do away with same-day registration. My mom and dad have voted in every presidential election since they first voted for FDR. Now, neither of them have driver's licenses. They no longer drive. And now they're going to have to get some kind of ID to vote? The Republicans will not be satisfied until they kill democracy. That is their goal. Now that they've screwed the people in Wisconsin, The Republicans in that state are on their way to a big fundraiser at the offices of a major lobbying firm in Washington, D.C. They think they can do business as usual. I think they've blown it. Watch what the people in Wisconsin will do now. Allison, Arkansas. Alice sent me that a couple, 3 days ago, and I'm just getting around to some of the email. And Marty writes, Mike, as someone who has been yelling and screaming and getting really, really pissed about these ignorant, racist, big mouth, blank, blank, teabagger, blank blankers, for 30 plus years, basically my whole adult life, I can't take it anymore and have decided to pack my bags and split to South America in the belief that the people are a little more sane and a little kinder there, rather than the vile, hate-filled, ignorant, racist right-wing blanks that seem to be running rampant in the U.S. My head's been about to explode for too long, and with modern-day Nazis running the D.C. and Wall Street shows, obviously one and the same, I can't help but think that odds are against us to turn this craziness around. So I've decided it's time for me to split. I've got much more respect and love in my heart for millions of average working class people in countries all over the world than I do for these right-wing pieces of garbage and their followers. So why would I want to expose myself to these blanks on a daily basis and let them drag me down with them? Not me, Brother Mike. I also want to say that I completely and totally agree with the point you made on last night's show. The fight in Wisconsin is very possibly the most important labor union-related struggle to take place in a generation. And where is Obama? I mean, if Obama can't stand up now and speak out and show up in Madison and support these people, many of whom have given so much in the past few weeks, what kind of president or man is he? And I would add that I'm a teacher on a middle-class income at best and gave Obama $2,000-plus of my hard-earned money because I believed in the guy and what he specifically said he stood for. And now I want my money back. I'll holler at you from way down south. Can't take these blanks no more. Marty. Well, I know where Obama said he would be. He was very explicit when he said this in South Carolina. Very explicit. Well, we'll do it when we come back because we've got to do a break. But I want to play that for you again. It's not a doctored clip. This is Mr. President, before he was Mr. President, making a specific and direct promise. And encapsulated in those couple of three sentences that we play for you, he gives the reasons why he will do what he says he will do. Well, Mr. Obama, you have failed, and I sincerely hope that somebody, I'm tired of hearing the justifications. I sincerely hope somebody on the left will challenge you. I mean, the system here is dead. I only say challenge you from the left. So that you can have a taste of what it feels like to have the American people promise you something and then have us take our promise back the same way you've done to us. But it doesn't make any difference who the next president is. It could be left, right, upside down, inside out. It doesn't matter. This system that we all grew up under is smashed.
watches C-SPAN so you don't have to. It's more Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour. Bad news here. In just a second, we're going to go to CNN Live. Workers at the nuclear plant, there's a new fire there, and the workers have all left. They have suspended operations, and I don't know. This looks fairly horrific. You want to bring that up, Kathy? Let's go to CNN.
Means that the 50 workers who, at great personal risk, have been working around the clock, have actually suspended operations. Again, Jim, it's hard to fathom if that is in fact the case. We're going to take a quick break, but before we do, Jim, just to kind of summarize here, what we're looking at, we have six reactors here. Reactors 1, 2, and 3, we're looking at Three Mile Island type situations with them. Reactors 4, 5, and 6 with these spent fuel pods. What is the worst case scenario there? Is that more of a Chernobyl situation where because there's not container vessels around them, there would be more of a direct release?
Yeah. The Chernobyl is not an exact analogy, Anderson, because Chernobyl did have explosions that helped carry that material up. But essentially, you are correct that it is like Chernobyl in that there is no containment vessel, and that if this material were to catch fire, it would go into the environment, or if it began to melt, like we've been talking about in the other reactors, this material could melt and then descend into the environment because, again, no containment vessel. These are major risks, and we were warned about them yesterday. The IAEA said there may be problems at reactors 4, 5, and 6, and it seems to me, you know, if you have six reactors in one place that are each having problems and different problems, then you need to bring a lot of resources to bear.
There had been talk about bringing helicopters to dump water to try to keep the fuel pods covered in water and obviously fight the fires as well. If it is, in fact, those 50 workers have left, that would, I assume, be one of the few ways then for them to continue to try to do something in terms of keeping these things underwater.
Yeah, I guess I'm going to remain. I'm probably going to be wrong about this, you know, but that's live TV. I can't believe that they would withdraw the workers. I just find that.
Yeah, I find it hard to believe.
I
agree.
Let's
take a break. We'll try to figure it out. And we'll, Well, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back.
All right, we will probably pick up on some more of this in a few minutes. If you are just getting word about this, you're probably watching it at home. Is it time to play Busta Rhymes again? That would be pouring salt on the wound, right? If the remaining 50 workers who were there have now been withdrawn because the situation has become hopeless, and I had no idea there were six reactors there. Six. That's scary. I guess what we're going to do here, Kathy, is pick up some more from CNN when they come back from a commercial break. And then what we had planned for the third hour, I think what we'll do is spend that hour with phone calls and do the topics that we had planned for that hour some other night. When you're dealing in live radio, you can't, I hate to plan in advance anyway. Got an email from Tim from L.A., who is Japanese-American and has relatives there. Mike, I want to thank you and all the truth seekers for being so concerned about what is going on in Japan. It's a tough time right now, and it got even tougher when we found out that the power plant at Fukushima blew up. And now with scientists and researchers in the U.S. speculating the mess that Japan is in, because Japan is keeping a tight lip, because the Japanese may be in deep, deep trouble. Remember the story I told you about the Burakumin, about 150 miles south of Fukushima in Tokyo, panic buying is happening as we speak. Why? Because the fallout is appearing in Tokyo. Why? Because scientists and climatologists said that the nuke clouds should be heading east toward California, but it appears that the jet stream isn't cooperating. So now my relatives in Tokyo are worried, and so are we on this side of the pond. It seems to get worse and worse every day, or is it already worse, and Japan is trying their best to save face? Let's go back to CNN and pick up with Anderson Cooper 360. Go ahead. Okay, we'll get it back here in a second. Here we go.
Have a meltdown or another compromise. No one to keep pumping water into reactors 1 and 3. No one to manage potential fires when we don't know the cause of the first two fires at reactor 4. No one around to keep an eye on reactors 5 and 6 to make sure that doesn't happen either. Now maybe
the guy talking is Jim Walsh with the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, MIT, and he's referencing the fact that all the workers have now left.
Going on here, but if that is the case, then it means things have gotten very serious from a health standpoint. And number two, you know, where does this story go? I mean, who knows what's going to happen next if that's the case?
What is it at this point that we don't know? I mean, what are the key things you need to know, you would like to know, that we don't know?
Well, I want to know what I would like to know what more about the workers. I also want to know the composition of the more about the radiation that's being emitted. What are the radioisotopes represented in those air samples? That would tell you a little bit about what's happening at the spent fuel pond and at the reactor. If you could get sort of a chemical profile of what's being emitted, and then you'd want data on about how, you know, how high and that radiation is, and whether it's been going up and down or whether it's going straight up. We need more facts here. We want to know, did that fire at reactor number 4, did that involve the spent fuel pond itself, or was it close to the spent fuel pond? Did the pond itself actually catch on fire in some way? So those are the key things you'd want to know going forward.
Yeah, the other thing I think is important, we may get clues from whether or not there are new advisories for people in the surrounding areas, because we've been hearing the same advisory now for a couple of days, 20-kilometer evacuation zone, beyond that for 10 more kilometers, stay inside, close the windows, all of that. If we start to hear that the advisories are changing, if they start to tell people to take potassium iodide pills now, that may be the first sign, in fact, that they are worried, significantly worried, that the radiation levels are going to go up and that the radiation is going to start moving around those plants further and further out. So whether or not we get the answer to some of Jim's questions about what the nature is of these particular this radiation or the levels, we may get some clues early on in terms of the advisories.
Right. We have been told that Japanese officials had iodine pills for people in the evacuation zone, some 200 or so, 250,000 people who had already been evacuated. They had pills in those areas and would be handing them out. We don't know if they actually have been handed out at this point or what the mechanism is for handing
them out. The timing is critical with this sort of thing. And what people will typically say is you want to give it when you're pretty sure someone's going to be exposed. You don't want to give it ahead of time because it may lose its effectiveness in terms of how well it can protect somebody. So if we suddenly hear that the iodine pills are now being distributed, people are being told to take them to protect their thyroid gland against thyroid cancer, then, you know, that probably signals a increased level of concern in terms of the radiation levels.
Jim, because there is, frankly, so much not known about the details of really what the emergency is in these multiple reactors, and we're talking about six reactors here, it's very hard to ascertain whether this the evacuation zone that they have established is really, I mean, is it, if it's arbitrary, if it's you know, if it's too small or not, it's a very fluid situation, and it frustrates.
What you're listening to is Anderson Cooper and Sanjay Gupta. They are in Japan, and they're talking with a nuclear expert from MIT regarding Jim Walsh, who is a CNN contributor as well as a MIT professor. What they're talking about is the Japanese have decided to withdraw the last 50 workers who were struggling against the fire in nuclear reactor number 4. There are two more. So now we have 6 nuclear reactors, and apparently there's, I don't know about 5 and 6, but I think everybody has now been withdrawn, which is an indication of the magnitude of this tragedy, not the facts of the tragedy. I don't know when we're going to find that out, but the magnitude of the tragedy. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Now won't you leave me in my misery? Trouble, trouble, please be kind. I don't believe magic, but for you I will. Ever you I will. Count me.
Arm yourself with the truth. It's more Mike Malloy.
Ten before the hour. This is a Malloy program. We are covering this breaking news that is on CNN right now. A new fire at the nuclear plant. And the Japanese government says the workers have suspended operations and have been ordered out. There seems to be quite a bit of uncertainty as to what comes next. Right before we went with the CNN feed, I was reading something here that Tim in L.A., who's Japanese-American and has relatives in Tokyo now, what he had written was a little bit more. He says, it seems to get worse and worse every day, or is it already worse, and Japan is trying their best to save face? Why did the crew on the U.S. Ronald Reagan, who tried their best to help the people, move more than 100 miles offshore because of contamination? They claimed that it was so small that the soldiers needed soap and water to get rid of the contamination. Would not a full bodysuit suffice as the soldiers going to help the people? Yet 120 miles south, Tokyo is getting bombarded with radioactive material. What is being hid? Is the contamination that bad? Are the 50 of the 750 employees at Fukushima's plant trying to put out the fire and cool the rods down with salt water? Are they dead man walking? As of right now, my relatives are 50 miles from west of the plant. But are they the walking dead, too? Because something new is always revealed, and it seems to get worse than before. Now, the irony, of course... and then he signs off. I don't know what to believe anymore. Tim from L.A. The irony, of course, is that he wrote this afternoon, and since that time, one of the worst things that could happen has happened, and that is the situation in the plant is out of control, apparently, at least to the extent that it could be handled by the technicians who were there. Let's go back to this live feed, Anderson Cooper in Japan. Akito, I'm not sure what city he's in, but let's rejoin CNN.
Have been withdrawn. Here's the actual statement made just moments ago.
All the workers there have suspended their operations, even the minimum ones. And so We have urged them to evacuate in a safe area, and they have evacuated in a safe area. And for the detail, I will tell later on.
We continue, obviously, to monitor that press conference, and we'll bring you any information as warranted. Jim Walsh, though, as you hear that, again, what do you make of this?
I hope I'm misinterpreting what he's saying. I hope that when he comes out with details a little later, whenever that is, they're going to say we met some of the workers, or we're taking those workers out so we can put other workers in, or that the international community is stepping in. But I hope he's not saying we're just walking off here, abandoning the six plants, and whatever happens is going to happen. I hope that's not where we're at, because then we enter a whole new chapter on this story. A completely different chapter.
There does seem to be this growing kind of credibility gap and concern that people have that that their government, that in particular this private company which runs the plant, has not been forthcoming with information.
Yeah, and it's interesting because, of course, I think there's a tremendous reputation among the Japanese of really sort of following along with what the government officials have said. There's, you know, people would talk to us earlier about how, well, you know, they had great sense of credibility in their government and any information they were getting. And certainly over the last couple of days, people we spoke to seem much more confused. Like, I'm not sure now what to believe. Although I noticed more people were much more panicky about the day-to-day issues of food and water and just being cold and blankets and how to get to the next day, and thinking in terms of the nuclear issue, in terms of something that was almost out of their control, right, and they were just going to wait to hear what would happen.
Gary, where you are, are people focused on the nuclear issue at all?
I think it's really interesting, Anderson. I was just talking to an elderly couple here. Lost their home. Just found out yesterday the daughter was alive after 3 days. Another very happy about that.
We have a break coming up here momentarily, and we may rejoin CNN. Let's see. Ken in Hemet, California, says Der Spiegel, the German news magazine, has photos of the site. Reactors 5 and 6 were down for maintenance before the earthquake. So maybe I don't know what that means. Whether or not that means they were in a... I just don't know what it means. The reactors were down for maintenance. Does that mean they were still generating energy? They would have had to. Jesus, I feel stupid. And we also got, now this is interesting. This is from Bill, who has a tweet from Hiroko Tabuchi. From several, it's hard to tell how long ago now, but it says, contrary to some reports, a core group of workers remain at the Fukushima Daiichi plant. It is not abandoned. I don't know who Hiroko Tabuchi is or what that means. But all right, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. So stick around as we watch the end of the world approach. I'm Mike Malloy. 7 past the hour. This is the Malloy program. As we told you last hour, there is has been a serious next step, a horrific next step in this tragedy in Japan. Japan has suspended operations at the nuclear plant in their attempts to prevent a stricken meltdown or a stricken reactor from melting down. They have decided to bail out after surge in radiation made it too dangerous for workers to remain at the facility. The chief cabinet secretary, Yukio Edano, said working on dousing reactors with water was disrupted by the need to withdraw. Jesus, God. Let's switch over to NBC now, MSNBC. CNN has gone back to last hour's Anderson Cooper program. MSNBC is live. Let's switch over, Kathy, if you want to bring that up.
Situation coming out of the nuclear power plants.
It raises a question for me as you say that, Bob. I have to tell you, when you have someone in that emotional state making a decision to put their lives at risk, as I've read it, the protection they have is nowhere near what a lot of experts think they need to make what they're doing anywhere near safe.
She's talking about the workers at the Fukushima reactor, that they remained in the plant, in the reactor, in these attempts to try to get things under some kind of control, which now has obviously failed, at least insofar as the Japanese government is concerned. Officials said 70% of the fuel rods at one of the 6 reactors at the plant was significantly damaged in the aftermath of Friday's earthquake. It was only Friday? God. News reports said a third of fuel rods were also damaged at another reactor. Officials said they would use helicopters and fire trucks to spray water in a desperate effort to prevent further radiation leaks and cool down the reactors. What else? 140,000 people now have been ordered to stay indoors. Radiation detected in Tokyo, 150 miles to the south, has triggered panic buying of food and water. 6 reactors at the plant, 3 that were operating at the time, have been rocked by explosions. good God. All right, I'll tell you what, we're going to, excuse me, let's open up the phones and hear from you what you what your take is on what we're hearing tonight. This is fairly horrific stuff. And the phone number here is 877-996-2556. If you'd like to call in and get an opinion in. What else we got here? The email here from Sanchez about the sudden spike in measured radiation, too high for workers to stay. They've all been evacuated. And Sanchez writes, many people have been speculating that a meltdown occurred, or speculating a meltdown is about to occur since last Friday. I wouldn't be surprised. Down for maintenance? Oh, the other 3. Down for maintenance means they weren't generating power. How hot the core was would depend on how long they'd been shut down. But without cooling water, the reactors could still melt down. It would just take longer. The storage pools are the big concern on these units as well, far worse than a simple meltdown. Of course, a meltdown would ensure the adjacent cooling pools would melt down as well. That's from Prairie 2. Ba-da, ba-da. Let me see what else we have here. Andy writes, we finally start to see a glimmer of hope for fighting back against tyrannical power in the world, and then bang. A big natural disaster to wash it out of our heads. you ever get the feeling that there actually is a God and he's making sure the world doesn't become a better place? Andy, yeah, probably. All right, before we go to your calls, we're coming just a second. But Kath, can you bring this up again just for a second? I want to hear just a little bit more of this.
And basically save the day.
Well, let me ask you, and we have a little bit of a delay here, so it's a little confusing, but I want to go directly to your point, because there have been reports in Japanese media that 70% of the fuel rods at reactor number one have been damaged, 33% at number two. Do you believe they had the capability to even know that?
I think they're estimating on the basis of the time or the temperature. I really don't know how they come up with those numbers. But they say they really weren't sure where the water was, water level was in those reactors. Now they're saying they think it's about halfway up. But, you know, the fuel isn't just sticking up over that water. It is crumpled and probably melted in part and lying at the bottom of that vessel. And this, hopefully, bringing that seawater in will keep it from getting worse. But it has the capability of melting right down through the bottom. I mean, we're talking about pretty close to 100 tons of uranium fuel.
Jesus.
And, at temperatures of, you know, 4,000 or 5,000 degrees.
100 tons?
Well, when it comes to radioactive material escaping into the atmosphere, and that was the first shocker. You know, about 24 hours ago, when officials here acknowledged that, spent fuel rods do seem to be the most direct method of that happening. What are some other areas of concern? And I know when you're looking at where we are right now, there's so much at stake and so much that has gone wrong. But what worries you the most? And do you see some sort of direct route to avoiding a wide-scale nuclear catastrophe?
Well, the best they can do is just keep cooling the systems. You're going to get a certain amount of release. Now, from what I understand or the reports, in Unit 2 there was a rupture.
The man speaking is Victor Galinsky. He's a former Nuclear Regulatory Commission commissioner. I don't know what his credentials are.
The pressure vessel, and that produces a direct path out to the environment. What the extent of that radioactive release is very hard to tell from here without having more information. At 1 and 3, we know that the fuel has been badly damaged, probably melted in part. In number 4 is a different problem. You didn't have fuel in the reactor because it was in refueling, but you've got a problem with the refueling pool, which you talked about earlier, a fire in there, and there is more fuel in that refueling pond than there is in the core of a reactor. So there's lots and lots of radioactive material, and if that gets dispersed through fire, it's extremely worrisome. And that's directly open to the air.
And I guess a question a lot of people are asking, and we're going to be talking about this through the hour and in the days and weeks to come, but how similar are U.S. reactors to what is here in Japan?
Well, I think they're probably very similar. Apparently, these Japanese reactors were built without the cooling towers, I guess because of the proximity of cold ocean water. I don't know. I have no idea. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we are going to take your phone calls. So if you're on hold, we will get you momentarily. The number here, 877-996-2556. Stay with us.
Together, and we'll get it all done. Now, when the world is
the voice inside your head. It's Mike Malloy.
Past the hour. All right, just a couple of quick, and then to your phone calls. Sherry in New Jersey writes, those reactors were built by General Electric. We have 23 of the exact model in the United States. Just like BP, the U.S. also will protect GE. We have to keep the stockholders happy. Chris writes, Mike, hopefully your listeners can help me understand a few things. The foundation for my question is the movie The Road. In that movie, the author does not detail the calamity that leads to the subtext for the book. However, when I saw the movie, I immediately thought about the first atomic test. I can't find the references, but during that first test, I could swear that the number one concern was whether or not the chain reaction would continue and ignite the atmosphere. Yeah, that's true. I know that you have said that there cannot be an explosion, a nuclear explosion, but I cannot see how anyone can so definitely make that statement. The nuclear chain reaction continues even in spent fuel rods. The probability that a critical mass could not be achieved is no doubt great, but not impossible. We are in uncharted territory. We simply don't know what would happen if the spent fuel rods ignited and pooled, nor do we have any idea what interactions that mass would have with the environment. Chris, no, I have no idea what I'm talking about. I'm not going to, you know, this is not a high-budget television program where we can bring in experts. I have no idea. When I heard the guy say that there's a 100-ton chunk, that's not what he said, of uranium. Isn't that what he said? That the substance that they're deriving, I don't know what the hell he said, but it was pretty scary. Sandra writes, people live in hope, even faced with the reality right in front of their faces. It's like when someone dies, people don't really believe it until they see the body in the casket or get the ashes from the urn. Of course they have abandoned the plant. That is what the woman just said, period, end of sentence, and it's a done deal. Life as we know it has changed on the other side of the Pacific, and who knows how far it will go and how long the effects will last. Sad, very sad, Sandra. All right, Arnold is in Durham, North Carolina. Hey, Arnold.
Hey, Mike, how you doing, my brother?
Not very good, pal. How about you?
It's all sad. It's all so sad. I guess what I got to say, I'm not going to make it any brighter, but, you know, to me, it looks like this. If I was Japan and I gave the United States a lot of money, in return, I took back some of their bonds that they told me that, it's, that they never could fail. These bonds could never fail. And now that I'm Japan needing this bond in an emergency, in a real bad emergency, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe that could sink our tub, too, as well as theirs, you know. It could be catastrophic for us, too. Because those Republicans are sitting over there right now trying to plot on how they can stop the gap on everything. Mm-hmm. Stop this country from even breathing. But they got to pay up that debt. They got to pay that debt. The same debt that they put in Social Security with those phony bonds that George Bush said, those workers' bonds. Mm-hmm. They borrowed money against those bonds with Japan, China, Saudi Arabia. I don't know. Might like Japan need that money now, huh?
Well, you know, we could get into a situation here, Arnold, where the money doesn't mean a damn thing. Arnold, I want to move quick tonight because I want to get some folks in. Thanks, pal. I appreciate you checking in. Mike is in Westminster, South Carolina. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Not very well tonight.
I know. Sad time, but good to talk to you again anyway. I did want to talk to you about this thing that's going on over there in Japan. I've been watching it since day one because I knew this thing was going to get a lot worse than what they said. Mm-hmm. You know, we're just all the subject of disinformation that we always have been. Your emailers were right about GE being a designer and us having, you know, 20-something of those here in the United States. Hell, we've got 100 reactors in the United States, mostly scattered throughout the southeast here.
That's right.
I live near one over here, the power plant in Clemson, and you have them by you. We're just surrounded by these things. There's no safe place. But in watching all this, one of the most important things to keep an eye on is the fires in the reactor building 4, because that's where the pooled, they have 20 years worth of stored spent nuclear fuel, which is still hot.
Oh, Jesus, and, really? Well, that's the one. That's the one where they have abandoned now.
That's right. 20 years worth of that stuff, and it has, you know, plutonium and all kind of stuff in it, and it's, you know, it's going up. You know, they pulled back from 700-800 workers down to 50, and I just personally assume that those 50 probably lost their families in the tsunami, and they didn't really care because people were getting a maximum annual dose exposure. A maximum annual dose exposure every 7 minutes over there.
Jesus Christ.
So, you know, those people are probably already, you know, succumbing to some of these symptoms from radiation poisoning and stuff. Mm. But it's sad that we sit here through all this and we don't get the information that we should get. I mean, if you've watched the news, nobody has treated this as if it was serious, even as hydrogen explosion after hydrogen explosion went off in all three of these reactors, breaching everything but the reactor core itself. And the last one apparently did some damage in reactor 2 to its core. But all of that 20 years worth of spent fuel sitting there in those pools that have leaked.
Well, I'll tell you what, Mike, I could have gone all night without hearing that, but I appreciate your call, pal. We got a break here. Thanks, Mike. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
He's your nightly ammunition against right-wing rhetoric. Get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour, Boston Globe has this up at their website. The NRC, Nuclear Regulatory Commission, yesterday, that would have been Tuesday or Monday, put a temporary hold on a 20-year license extension for the controversial Vermont Yankee nuclear power plant. The commission had instructed its staff to issue the renewal last Thursday, the day before the massive earthquake and tsunami in Japan. Spokesman Neil Sheehan attributed the delay to the fact that manpower is short while the agency focuses resources on helping Japan deal with the nuclear crisis. But opponents of the nearly 40-year-old plant, who note it is the same design as the most compromised reactor in Japan, said the delay should be far longer until the agency can assure the public the plant is safe. Vermont Yankee in Vernon, near the Massachusetts border, has suffered a series of problems in recent years that have frayed the public trust, including the collapse of a cooling tower and leaks of tritium from underground pipes that company officials initially said were not there. See, I would take people out like that and shoot them. I would. If I were king of America, I would do it. Well, there's no pipes there! James Moore, Clean Energy Program Director for the Vermont Public Interest Research Group, said, quote, "I think it is prudent to take a step back and say this reactor design is having serious problems in Japan. The last thing we should do is say it is good to go for another 20 years past its expiration date," end quote. Germany has shut down 7 aging plants until they can be assessed. In Russia, Prime Minister Putin ordered review at Russian nuclear facilities. India's plants are undergoing a review. The Obama administration, however, has not ordered any similar review and has continued to back nuclear power throughout the crisis, saying it would learn lessons from Japan's nuclear problems. President Obama has embraced nuclear power, requesting $36 billion for government-backed loans to help the nuclear industry build additional plants in his budget proposal. Yesterday, a spokesperson for Vermont Yankee Nuclear Power Plant, Larry Smith, said it was his understanding the delay was merely a temporary one and the license will be issued. This is how it works. This is how it works. A 40-year-old plant falling apart, and the son of a bitches at the NRC give it just a rubber stamp 20-year renewal the day before all hell breaks loose in Japan. And now they say, well, it's just a temporary, we're suspending it just for a second. Don't worry about it. You bastards. Nora's in Minneapolis, listening on KTNF. Hey, Nora.
Hey there, Mike.
Hey.
I'm not going to ask you how the hell you're doing, but I'm going to tell you that I'm very much enjoying our first night that's going to stay above freezing.
Well, good.
And it's going to go on that way for many days. That won't help the flooding situation, but it'll help me feel better, I tell you.
Yeah, well, good.
So, I'm calling now about my nuclear waste solution, because I heard on the Hartman show today that usually no one can ever talk about nuclear waste because they think there's no solution. But this is it. It's a grand compromise. Even though we hate nuclear power, under this proposition, we would take the nuclear weapons that he's trying to get rid of and mix them with nuclear waste. And by the way, they'd have to agree to end all uranium mining all over the earth, because everywhere they have it, let me tell you, all of the big mines are all on Indian reservations and indigenous reserves, and the most horrendous and abhorrent part of the cycle, even though, I mean, well, meltdown might be pretty bad, but the mining, and not only mining, when they do test drilling, causes all this water that these people, they have, you know, miscarriages, cancers all the time from this type of
grass. So what should we do with all this stuff once we get it together, Nora?
So my thing is, you can make it, use it as fuel to make a type of nuclear plant that takes all our weapons and all our nuclear waste. You mix it together, and I've heard people, physicist-type people talk about that you can take nuclear waste and high-grade plutonium weapons and mix them together and make a fuel. It's the way that you recycle the fuel.
Well, you know what, Nora? We're at a point where I don't even want to think about that. It's just the whole situation has gone beyond insane and is now approaching gruesome. Nora, let me move on. I appreciate what you had to say. Sanchez is in East L.A., listening to KTLK. Hey, Sanchez.
Hey, Senor Malloy. I don't even know how to say a very good evening this evening.
Yeah, really?
So I'll just say evening. Yeah?
All right, I'll take that.
Yeah, you know, the one thing that I wanted to expand upon, because I was sending you that email, was just the fact that there were already officials, Nuclear Safety Commission officials, as far back as Friday, saying that a meltdown was possible, especially in the explosion of the first reactor, where now they're saying that the core is exposed.
Mm-hmm.
Although the steam is now vented out, there's nothing left to cool it. So those things could start a meltdown here very, very soon. So if the rise, they say it was a sudden rise early this morning, at least a local time there in Japan, that all of a sudden the scale of radiation not necessarily went off the charts, but it was such a sudden rise that they said they deemed it necessary, even with all their protective gear that they had on, they deemed it necessary to pull the 50 people out of there, you know, despite the fact that they are the suicide squad. So they're being optimistic about it and saying that it's a temporary situation, but I think once a meltdown occurs, it's a permanent situation.
So. Yeah, it's just horrific, Sanchez. And thank you. I'm going to keep the call short tonight. Thanks, Sanchez. It's so horrific. Mike in Denver writes, Mike, it wasn't you who said an explosion was impossible. It was your humble listener, moi, and I later sent you a self-rebuttal, which you also read on the air. A maximum bang for the uranium buck explosion, as in a weapon, has to be carefully engineered. However, if the melting fuel is not prevented from pooling together in one place, then whether an inefficient, low bang for the buck and very dirty explosion could occur is anybody's guess. And USPS, an article I read recently about quantum uncertainty said we really cannot know exactly what happens in a nuclear chain reaction. Okay, now I've scared myself. Mike in Denver. And Maggie in Mount Shasta, wonder what Helen Caldicott is saying. I remember reading Helen Caldicott's scary book, If You Love the Planet, a while back. Maybe I'm just panicking right now, but I think she wrote that just a pea-sized piece of plutonium can be devastatingly deadly. 100 tons is not exactly pea-sized. On the Rachel Maddow program, the expert physicist said last night, we are not in danger of fallout here in the States, but that network is owned by you-know-who. Maybe we won't have a debate about more nuclear plants because it just might be time to take those pills they had in the movie On the Beach. We have to find out what the blank's going on. Ooh, Maggie, I love it when you cuss. Oh, man. AJ, the Music Factory, is in the Catskills. Hello, AJ.
Hey, handsome. How are you?
not doing very well tonight. How about you?
I know. It's a stupid friggin' question. I'm sitting here all night thinking about last week's call. You know, those of us who are privileged to have called you regularly and you accept our calls, we obviously change our calls from week to week so that, you know, it doesn't make for good radio if the same person's talking about the same thing every week. But that doesn't mean these issues go away just because we don't talk about them. And last week I had mentioned how despondent I was over a progressive radio show legitimizing CNN by having their people on the show and cavorting with them. And tonight I turn on CNN in the middle of this huge crisis of humanity. I mean, you can't get your head around it. You're waiting for the credits to roll.
Right, right.
Okay? And what's the first thing I see? The hair club for men. It's a commercial. They don't stop to sell something. Now, this is more than just a rant on CNN. Here's the thing. The American people will not take this seriously as long as CNN is breaking away for an Acura commercial or for a Mountain Dew commercial. You understand?
Right.
It's no wonder that I can't get my head around it because I look and I see, hey, everything's okay. Look, they're selling. You know, America's doing what the only thing it does anymore is selling. And we, you know, this is Japan's September 11th. And in fact, it's ours too. Because
well,
come onto our shores.
That's the thing. We don't know at this point, AJ, what, we just don't. Neither do learned nuclear physicists in this country. Everybody's speculating right now. This could make 9/11, no disrespect, it could make 9/11 seem like a distant memory. AJ, I have to leave it there. Thanks, pal. We'll be right back. Before the hour, this is the Malloy program. Susan is in Squim, Washington State. Hello, Susan.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for taking my call. Not so sunny in Squim tonight.
Yeah,
we're a little sad here. We're worried about our neighbors to the west. I feel very similar to you. I'm totally unequipped to understand the physics of what's going on here.
Mm-hmm.
I did happen to know another source, NHK TV World News. It's on a Ustream. It's a Ustream channel, and they are giving live in English coverage from Japan. So Japanese presenters. So one thing that they said that I didn't hear on CNN or MSNBC was that although they withdrew the 50 people, they were attempting to dump water from helicopters. Now, I don't know how that's going to work. But,
right. No, we had that report from MSNBC, but at this point, again, I'm as in the dark about the
sounds lame, doesn't it?
I'm as in the dark about the physics and the mechanics of this as you are, I guess. But I would be very suspect of anything on NHK right now. NHK, well, it is, I believe it's a privately owned radio and television broadcast network in Japan. They have, I'm sure that what they are trying not to do is to panic their own population. And taking up, I don't know how much water a helicopter can carry. I've seen videos, I'm sure you've seen them too, where they try to put out fires, forest fires. That would be like spitting at this thing.
Yes, I think it would be, Mike. I think it's just a last-ditch effort. I don't think there is anything that they can do. I really don't see.
At this
one
time.
One other thing, when they were talking about that plant, the number four plant, that, mm-hmm. that was not in operation but went off anyway,
mm-hmm.
my understanding is that the rods that were in there are not as hot as the ones that were working, but it's one that they had powered down several weeks ago, which shows you how long those things stay active, and that they have to keep them underwater, and that there's a lot more rods in them, and they suddenly discovered that there was no water there. And that's why it got hot. So, you know, they don't really know what's going on. They can't get near it.
Right.
But I was very taken, as you were, by the sense of community of these people and how they are trying to help each other.
Mm-hmm.
And the people, it's my understanding the 50 people that went in there were volunteers, and that they also have a call out for retired workers, nuclear workers, who are going to volunteer to go in, even though they know it's a death sentence now, even, and go in and see what they can do. And to me, that kind of sacrifice is beyond anything I can even conceive of. It's awesome to think about. And
yeah, it is. I don't know how I don't know how to react to or mentally process that for a number of reasons. You know, Japan is a heterogeneous society. They're a homogeneous society. They don't deal with what we deal with. It's almost a closed nation. I realize that there are.
I lived there as a child for 3 years.
Well, then you know.
Yeah.
There are Koreans there, and they are looked upon askance. Let's put it that way. It's a very homogeneous society, and the rights of the individual are always subsumed into the needs of the society, the larger society. That's the way it has been, I guess, for centuries. That's part of their culture.
They've also been somewhat of an underdog in the area in many ways in the past, and that has given them a sense of grouping together to gain strength.
Mm-hmm.
And they feel that sense of togetherness and, you know, doing for all of them, sacrificing for the whole. They feel that sense more than possibly Americans do.
Well, it's very difficult right now to think about the possibilities that are floating around here tonight. Hey, Susan, thanks for checking in.
Okay, thanks.
All right, take care. From Prairie 2, regarding an explosion, I guess he means a nuclear explosion, it seems unlikely, he writes, that you could have a, quote, natural, end quote, fission explosion from the pooling of fissionable material, because the intense heat would drive off enough material to keep a critical mass from accumulating an adequate density. This is normally done with high explosives to force pure material together in a small space. This situation will produce a massive radioactive geyser instead. The intense heat will produce very fine particles and gases that will be carried to high altitude by the updraft. Well, I hope you're right, Bruce. I hope the people who are providing counsel against the possibility of a fission reaction, I hope you're right. I have no reason to doubt anyone except Republicans or conservatives who write or send anything to this program until we find out that that wasn't necessarily within the realm of reality. I'm not saying, Bruce, that that's not the case or that's the case with what you wrote, but I don't know. It's just too bizarre. That's it for the program tonight. We'll be back tomorrow. I think we will. Jesus, God. Yeah, go ahead and giggle. I'll see you tomorrow night, okay? Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Molloy.